Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
He was like, I was in the helicopter, I was willing it, and I was just going, move, move, ball, move.
It's all real, everyone.
When did I become so skeptical of everything? What has happened to us? What has happened to us?
You'll be dead!
Right, let's do it. This feels like the longest season ever. Like, we've had this massive break in between. Like, this is the last episode. Tis thought we were starting a new series.
I was like, who's the first episode? Yeah. I was like, fucking hell. End of the last one. Jesus.
Is it because I recorded with Rick in between to buy me time because it took less research?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And that normally goes right at the end. But yeah, so we had my holiday plus the episode of Rick. So we've had like a big break, but... Hello, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. This is Bob Choi, and with me, as always, Luke Beef.
Hey, this is Luke Beef.
And Adam Tiss.
Hey, this is Adam Tiss.
And we've just been chatting for like 20-ish minutes, so I already know you guys are doing well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess we'll roll straight into the actual topic.
Yeah, let's do it.
Roll it.
Do you guys have any idea what we're talking about today?
I think I know the kind of, like, the subject matter, but I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah, I might have teased it.
I couldn't fathom possibly what we're going to talk about, actually. The teaser was in the chat, was it?
No, on the last time we recorded, I think I said, oh, I'm going to do this kind of episode, but I hadn't decided what exactly.
I couldn't even remember that you still had an episode left, so I'm gonna go with yeah. I don't remember.
So, Beef, what type of episode do you think it is?
Well, last time we recorded, you said that some of our listeners were requesting we do a spooky one because we hadn't done a spooky one in a while.
A paranormal themed episode. It's been a while. I think I got burnt out on the Warrens. I did so many Warrens episodes.
60 Warrens episodes and
something like that. Yeah. Roughly like 70% of our back catalogue is Warrens.
And me and Tiss were starting to get a little bit fed up of, oh, it's another haunted doll.
well, get ready.
Oh, God.
This is the Conjuring Part 7.
No, it's not another haunted doll, don't worry.
This is Haunted Dolls.
Part 3. No, this time, so we've talked about this before but never dedicated a whole episode to it really. It's like come up, we know what they are, but I thought let's take a more general look at poltergeists.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And what I thought, I started researching and I was like, okay, there's a lot to this. So I think this is going to be a bit of like a running series for me. Like maybe, you know, about as often as I used to do the Warrens, I might do a few of these poltergeist episodes because there's so many famous cases and we've covered a couple of them.
We've done the London one, right?
We did the Enfield Poltergeist. That was the first ever Warrens episode.
Yeah.
And we talked about the Amityville Horror, which was another Warrens case. And we talked a little bit about the poltergeist at Borley Rectory. But I'd really rather go more in depth when we can actually one day visit Borley. So they're the ones I'm not going to touch tonight. But we'll talk a little bit just in general about poltergeist and then go over like a few smaller cases. And I want to leave the meatier ones for like in the future. But I was thinking literally just before we started recording, I was thinking what made me initially interested in spooky stuff, poltergeists, the paranormal and all this stuff. And I might have mentioned this on the show before, but do you guys remember the TV series Strange But True?
No.
Kind of. Was it... No, you're going to have to refresh my memory.
Right, okay. So it was hosted by Michael Aspel. It was on yes. ITV. But when ITV was called LWT, where I lived. Yes. About 2-3 years ago, I bought this book on a nostalgia trip when I saw it in a charity shop, which is the official Strange But True book. It's got a picture of Michael Aspel holding a crystal ball on the front of it.
Yeah.
Something I never noticed about this TV show when I was younger, what blew my mind about it was my grandparents used to watch it, and I used to like watching it with them, even though it freaked me out, and I would get them to tape it on VHS so I could watch it in the middle of the day when it wasn't so spooky. Yeah. But I was always like, wow, this stuff's all true. It says it in the name.
Because like, it's strange, just, but true. It says
yeah,
it's
strange,
true.
But true. Like, that's what I meant. I was like, they can't lie to me. So they're, why is no one paying attention to the TV show? They're saying that ghosts are true. It's all real, everyone.
So naive.
So I'm going to show you the logo, which really is like a real cop-out. I never noticed this about the title when I was a kid. So strange, but true.
True? Question mark.
Yes, it has a question mark in the title.
I haven't noticed the question mark.
So strange, but true?
Isn't this? I swear, I remember watching... I don't know if this is the same TV show, but I remember catching this when I was a kid. I was staying at someone's house, and I just remember it not really being something my parents would let me watch.
No, it was creepy. When they did a paranormal case, it was creepy.
Yeah, and I swear there was one where they... And it later, I think it came out, it was just like a hoax type thing. But there was... And there was like a really spooky voice recording, and then there was stuff going wrong in the studio, and...
Oh, I don't know about that.
I can't remember if it was Strange But True. It was something like that. I swear, like in the 90s, there were loads of programs like this.
Most Haunted?
It wasn't Most Haunted.
This
no,
is like
Derek
the precursor
Record.
To Most Haunted. This is a bit older than that.
Because like, I remember not really watching, because we didn't have Sky when I was a kid, and Derek Acora was like Sky, wasn't it? It used to be on like Bravo.
Well, this did give me nightmares when I was a kid, Strange But True. So this was published in 1994, I just checked. Anyway, there was an episode about the Enfield Poltergeist. I think it was the Enfield Poltergeist or a famous poltergeist case. And it really shat me up. Like, they did like reconstructions of like, you know, when it's talking to them, when they're trying to talk to the ghost. And right. They had someone like doing the voice, and they were playing recordings of the voice that I played on that Enfield Poltergeist episode. And it really creeped me out, and I had proper nightmares about this show.
Good evening. The most remarkable case of poltergeist activity this century took place in 1977. It occurred in North London, and it's known across the world simply as the Enfield Poltergeist.
But I think this TV show, Strange But True, is what got me interested in this stuff in the first place. So I just had a flick through about 5 minutes before we started recording, because I remembered I had this book, and there is about 4 chapters on poltergeists in here. So for future episodes, I might be mining some of this. But on the first bit, when it says about poltergeist, there's a little box that says signs of a poltergeist. So I guess we'll go through this, actually. Like, I'm already mixing my notes up a little bit. But let's go through these signs of a poltergeist according to the 1994 book adaptation of the TV series hosted by Michael Aspel, Strange But True.
So this is really foundational stuff. This is, at least to be honest, it's probably better than Wikipedia.
Yeah, oh, don't worry, I've got some Wikipedia on this episode later.
Oh, good. Spookipedia.
Right, we're pulling out all the stops. So here we go, signs of a poltergeist. I'll go through these one by one. I haven't even gone through these myself, so let's see how familiar we are to these as what we think of a poltergeist as. So it's set, and signs is in quotations, by the way, so it's like signs of a poltergeist.
Even the book isn't sure of itself.
Yeah, all these caveats, strange but true. Signs,
we think.
So, the first one's pretty obvious. So, this might be letting on there's a poltergeist. The sighting of an apparition.
Well, yeah, I suppose that would give it away, wouldn't it?
It would. Number two, non-human noises.
Like an animal?
I guess, or just like knocking.
Oh, I see what you mean. I was going to say like a cat meowing.
Humans famously don't knock.
That's true.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe like animal noises then. But then I would argue that that's probably just an animal.
What it means is, I suppose, like, we know what it means. Really, it's the kind of noise that
glossolalia
a human couldn't make. Hmm.
Glossolalia.
And glossolalia, speaking in tongues.
Yeah,
but that's human, isn't it? Or is it?
Well, yeah, that is. Yeah.
No right-minded human though.
Okay, so number three, footsteps.
We just sidestepped what Tish just said.
Yeah.
Footsteps.
Yeah, hearing footsteps. Mm. Normal, we've heard of that sort of stuff before. Number four, scraping sounds.
Ooh, don't like that.
What's the first thing that comes into your head when you think of scraping sounds?
Washing up.
Mine was buttering bread, like buttering like burnt toast.
All of this sounds like the hallmarks of going to bed and someone downstairs washing up. Footsteps, scraping, knocking.
The sighting of an apparition.
Signs your partner could be washing up.
Okay, next one. The manifestation of foreign objects.
Okay.
So just like a pair of clogs.
What is... Yeah, what...
A Swiss Army knife. Oh, God.
Emma messaged me today and warned me that this might be a silly episode because it's a full moon, and she says that we go bonkers on episodes that we record on a full moon.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
That would explain why the kids have been mental at school today.
Well, she re-listened to the full moon episode we did years ago, and she said it's a real like secret hidden gem of the show because we're just like off our fucking rockers on it.
Which one?
You did one just called Full Moon Tiss. It's the one that ended short, so we filled up the time by talking about Sharon Osbourne shitting in a box or something.
Was it actually on a full moon?
I think we recorded it on a full moon, yeah, as well.
Jesus, that's good timing. Sharon Osbourne shitting in a box or Beef standing next to someone shitting in a box?
Both. We talked about both on the same episode.
Yeah.
You can't talk about shitting in a box without bringing up Beef's story of the guy shitting in a box.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was... Yeah, and then you mentioned... Wasn't it that someone shat in a box and then sent it to Sharon Osbourne?
No, she shat in a box and sent it to someone.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Ugh, that's dirty. Dutty.
I can't remember who or why, but she did it.
Well, dirty there Osborne. We go.
Dutty
Full
Osborne.
Moon slash Dirty Osborne.
So manifestation of foreign objects. I don't know, whatever, I guess. The next one, yeah, I would be kind of worried. Levitations. So someone just like floating up in the air, I guess.
Of people or of objects. Both, I suppose.
I guess both. Be pretty creepy. On the Enfield Poltergeist one, we saw the pictures of them two girls... levitating above their beds, supposedly.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah. The next one, the disappearance of small items. So...
like your car keys.
Yeah, just like you lost your sock, you know? Do you know what I mean? Is it a ghost?
Well, we must have a poltergeist then, because we lose small items all the time.
Yeah, who doesn't?
It's the sort of argument you have with your partner where it's like... Like, my dad says it all the time. If something's missing... And it's definitely him. He's like, well, we must have a ghost then. We must have a ghost.
We must have a poltergeist.
Always says it.
The classic ghost defense.
Yeah. It's like blaming a fart on the dog.
Talking of farts, the next one's really worrying. If this happened, then I'd be really concerned. I would be thinking maybe it's a poltergeist. Spontaneous combustion.
Oh, wow.
They're just chucking that in as a sign of a poltergeist. You just randomly set on fire.
Wow. I feel like they could put anything, though, like that.
What you do or something does?
I don't know, Tis. Either, I guess.
Because how would you know? Like, if I was on my own and I spontaneously combusted, who's to know it's spontaneous, you know what I mean?
Well, you.
Yeah, but I'd be dead.
Well, unless you jump in the bath.
A full bath. Spontaneously get a bath ready as well.
You're trying to draw a bath and you're just like flaming. Come on.
Oh my God. Yeah, unfuck. Come
go,
on.
Go flick the hot water on and sit and wait for it for a bit.
Bloody pressure.
There is such a thing as a shower in the modern day.
Yeah, that's true enough. Yeah, but some people just prefer baths.
Maybe that's why the small items go missing.
Maybe. Because they burn
maybe
up.
People spontaneously combust and then they spend ages trying to like spell out I spontaneously combusted with tiny items that they find in people's homes.
Maybe. Okay, so the next one, vandalism. And vandalism is in quotes as well. Vandalism of furnishings. See, to me, I just think of like the cat like scratching the sofa, but I think they mean more like maybe, you know,
plate smashing,
signs scraped into a table or something, like 666 written on a table or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking like, you know, you get maybe those videos of 666. Plates and glasses flying across.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, plates and yeah, that's
smashing
around.
Is that
around.
Vandalism or is that just, I suppose it is vandalism.
It is vandalism,
isn't it?
If someone came in my house and started doing it, I'd think they're a vandal.
A criminal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Next one, potentially violent acts.
Potentially
people
violent.
People talk about being hit, bit, or like
shit.
Like scratched by an unknown presence. So I guess it's that. People like they, I've seen videos of people say wake up and they got like scratches all over them and stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe. And then the final one, spontaneous writing, which is it.
Just like a little soliloquy.
I've just got a really good idea. I've just got to get it down.
A little haiku.
Jumping out of the shower to go and write it down.
Spontaneous writings.
Oh God! There's a lot of spontaneity to these poltergeists.
There is. Well, they're spontaneous creatures. So that wasn't actually part of my initial notes. I just grabbed that book and thought, oh, there's a box here. We can go through this checklist. But I'm definitely going to be mining that book for future poltergeist tales. But for now, guys, I think most people know this. What does poltergeist mean?
I actually don't know that.
Oh, Tis?
Poltergeist is any ghost that can be defined as noisy or nuisance. Is that correct?
Noisy. Noisy is the key word here. So poltergeist is actually a German word. Geist, ghost, or spirit.
Ghost, yeah.
Poltern, to clatter, to crash about. Ich polter,
crashy
poltern.
Ghost.
Oh, really?
So noisy spirit. Poltern, geist, poltergeist, yeah.
So a poltergeist is like a dyspraxic ghost. Yeah. Just clumsily knocking things around.
Exactly.
Really, really bad spatial awareness ghost.
Exactly. If anything, by the end of this, we're going to start feeling sorry for him.
That's right. I didn't know that. I didn't realise that was German for, like, crashing around.
Yeah, so, just to cause a big load of clattering. Polterngeist or poltergeist. The crash-about spirit, a noisy ghost.
Every day's a school day.
So I wrote down here what, before looking at that list, I wrote down off my head what poltergeist can do. And I've just written move objects, levitate objects, make noises, and attack people. Like you hear, like I said, they hear stories of hurting, like biting, pinching, hitting. So that was kind of good old Strange But True book sort of confirmed those thoughts for me. For you,
what about I'm trying to think, because that was one of the first horror movies I saw when I was a kid. Watched it around someone else's house and didn't the girl get, she got sucked into the TV, didn't she?
Oh,
or something.
The actual film, Poltergeist.
Yeah. It's obviously based on this book that you've got as well.
Yeah, definitely. Poltergeist, you know what? I actually watched that fairly recently, like last year sometime, again, for the first time in years. That's actually pretty scary for a film that's like, I always thought, oh, it's about the same level as Jurassic Park, but I thought it was way more gruesome than Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it was.
On a rewatch.
Yeah.
When his face starts melting, I was like, that's proper gruesome.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. Yeah, like those kind of films, like early 80s, maybe, I don't know, like late 70s, like they just had not relying on CGI as much.
No, and they looked so much better.
Yeah, really creepy.
Like the ending of Raiders of the Lost Ark, when they open the ark and all their faces start melting and stuff. That's supposed to be like a family movie. Gave me nightmares, that stuff.
Isn't it like a PG?
Yeah.
I swear that film's a PG.
It is.
I remember watching it with my dad one Christmas, and my dad just sat there and Like, oh, I didn't realise that. I forgot about that bit.
Yeah, the yeah. films were it's a horrible. Bit more gruesome.
God.
Even the original Star Wars used to scare me. The bit where they're in the bar and he cuts his arm off and it's laying on the floor like bleeding. I was like, Jesus.
I don't like you either. You better watch
exactly.
yourself.
Exactly.
You'll be dead.
Exactly. And he then, like, 10 minutes later, he sees the charred remains of his auntie and uncle.
Yeah, that's fucking scary. That's
yeah.
Scary.
Oh, yeah.
That's like Bambi's mum getting shot in the meadow, sort of scary.
Yeah, exactly. That is scary.
That that's your level for
Bambi's mum getting shot in the meadow. Meadows were very much a dirty word in my household for a long time as a child. Because meadow was associated with that film and Bambi's mum getting shot.
And dogging.
And you don't even see it, but it was so powerful. Dogging.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I saw it. I've been watching Disney classics in German because, like, they're simple to follow and I know them well enough. So I've been watching. Maybe I'll watch Bambi in German.
I feel like watching the classics, because we watched Snow White with Joel a couple of weeks mm-hmm. ago. And did I watch Cinderella? No, not Cinderella. Sleeping Beauty? I don't know. I just watched a couple months ago.
They're really quick to watch as well. They're like an hour
Yeah,
ten.
They're like an hour long. I forgot. They're like an hour and 10 minutes, most of them. And they feel like they're based on German fairy tales.
A lot of them are, It's just Disney ripping off European folklore and telling his stories.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it's great.
Because it's basically, so there was this family and then the parents died. And then this happened. And you're like, oh, everything's really like, oh. Oh, okay.
And when you track down the original version of the stories, they're a lot grimmer. He just sort of cleaned them up a little bit. Watch Grimmer. That was a pun because most of them were written by the Grimm brothers. I watched Little Mermaid in German recently and it was great.
Really? Wow. I've not seen the Little Mermaid for a while.
Yeah, it really holds up. Really, like, I was going to say great animation, but it's like a classic Disney film, so of course. But it was really good.
What about Beauty and the Beast? Do they sing bonjour, 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 bonjour?
Or
do they
say
guten Tag, guten Tag, guten Tag, guten Tag?
That's interesting. I'm going to watch that one. They'll just have to do bonjour, bonjour, won't they? I wonder in France if they watch it in French, if they just say hello, hello.
Yeah, they sing it in like English or something.
All right, all right.
All right, all right, all right.
It sounds like a Chaz and Dave song.
Yeah. Rabbit, 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 rabbit.
All right, all right. Right, okay. So, poltergeists, they're troublesome and they're often tied to a person or a location. That's the other thing about them. So these poltergeist stories, do you want to hazard a guess as to when stories of poltergeist date back to? Which century?
Oh, I would just, I don't know. I'd go back to medieval times.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know. Is that too far?
Poltergeists. The word comes from Germany.
So how old is Germany?
Well, Germania is
forget, they might have... Stories of these things might have been around before they were given a name as well.
I'm going to say 1700s.
The first century.
The first century?
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Actually, no, that doesn't surprise me, actually.
What, like 1000?
They back to the first century. Well, we'll go back to the... I've got a very early case, which we'll talk about later.
The first century AD?
Yeah.
Jesus. After death.
Exactly. Poltergeist AD.
After first century AP. After poltergeist. Pre-poltergeist.
They date back that way. But in the 17th century is when they really started to grow in popularity. And there was like a real like spate of reports.
So we were half right, Tis, both of us. Yeah.
It's because there wasn't enough dead people until then.
That's true.
Or no, sorry, angry dead people. Because like the flood wiped everyone out and there's no ghosts from the flood. And then after that...
Well, they were just like, oh, we're all in the same boat here. Well, or not. They weren't in the boat. That's the point.
The flood would have been what? Like, way...
That's BC, isn't it?
That's ages BC, isn't it?
Just thousands of years.
Yeah.
Thousands.
But how many people have died from then until 100 AD?
Probably billions.
No, not billions. There weren't that many
people,
were there?
There weren't that many people around.
37?
No. Why were people in I'm glad Rachel's leaving because I'm just about to ask a question that would annoy her.
Why were so many angry people in medieval times? What were they so angry about?
The standard of living. Healthcare.
I mean, I'd be angry if I had to live in the medieval time. But think about your episode on the Middle Ages and stuff, how rough it was back then.
Yeah, but if that's all you knew, it would just be like normal life, wouldn't it?
No.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like even then I'd be like, this is shit.
Nah.
Isn't it? I wish I was born a few centuries later.
There's a natural,
Yeah, fair enough.
There's a natural comfort level. And, you know, animals can feel like they're abused, even though they don't have anything to, compare it against.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Abuse humans.
That's a good point.
Oh, my God. Oh. I thought Bubba just disappeared.
I thought
you disappeared like a poltergeist.
It was a poltergeist. Sorry, guys. Yeah, my internet cut out, actually. It's a much more boring situation.
Oh. It's gone.
It's gone again. He's got a poltergeist.
The thing is frozen on. It's like he's just about to say something. No, there
for
you go.
Sure, guys.
There you go.
Hello?
Yeah, yeah. You got to open the door to let the internet through.
I'm back.
Yeah. It was open that door wide.
So, we're going to talk about some explanations for what these poltergeists could actually be.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking us. Yeah, sorry.
I've got a number of them. I don't know how many I've got here.
Cut out.
It's gone again. Ah, oh, rubbish.
Needs to get the door open, get the in there in.
Exactly, yeah. Mate, I can't stop thinking about that. Every time it comes into my head, I just chuckle.
It works. There you go. It's opening. Oh, no, it's gone. It's opening. See, every time he opens the door, the internet comes in.
The internet.
Every time he opens the door, and then it cuts out as soon as the door closes. That's science.
That's exactly it.
That's scientific fact.
Right. Sorry about that. It took fucking ages. My internet's been a right bastard, but hopefully it's all right now.
Cool.
Well, Tiss made a good point. Your door's closed. He said you need to open the door to let the internet
in. That is true. If it goes out again, I'll prop the door open.
Every time it cut back in, it was because you'd gone out of the door to go out.
Oh, that's true.
Science, mate.
He's on the side. Right, so explanations for poltergeists. What could they be?
Sorry.
Go on, Tess.
No, every time you say it, it's like you're asking me. But at the same time, I want to see what you think they are.
No, go on. What was on top of you? What was on the edge of your lips?
I don't know. I just started speaking. I think poltergeists. Let's try it. I think poltergeists can probably be very easily explained by circumstance, but maybe people. I think the human brain is a lot scarier than the reality that we're living in. The human brain can invent a lot of crazy shit. I have invented a lot of crazy shit over the years, and it's all down to the frame of mind you're in, the noises. In fact, it's not the noises, it's just the frame of mind. Anything else that gets input after that frame of mind becomes an issue. Whereas if I'm in a good frame of mind, it doesn't matter what I hear, anything. It's all explained very easily.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was watching Science, Ricky Gervais' stand-up the other night, which came on TV, and he was talking about your logical brain and the illogical, and he used the story of he was flying just after 9/11, and he thought this person in the lounge was a terrorist. And he was like, after a while, my illogical brain took over and I was like petrified when 15 minutes ago I was talking myself down, don't be stupid. What are you talking about? There's nothing to worry about, you know? And I think, I think it's just a case of sometimes the wildest stories we believe are the ones we've made up ourselves, because we start to believe our own thought processes.
We've all been there when you hear something and it's late at night and maybe you're in a strange location and then your imagination runs away with you and you almost start spiraling down into this if we all went to an abandoned hospital and started walking around at night and we heard a rustle of leaves, we would start shitting ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So I'll put that, I've got a list of explanations here, but False perceptions is one of these, and that's kind of what you guys are saying. So I've written here like a rewritten memory. Sometimes you remember things in a different way to which they actually happened as well. So when you're relaying, you're like, yeah, it was really creepy, blah, blah, blah. So like a rewriting of your own memory can factor into like retelling a story of the event, and you go, actually, no, that was there as well. And that was to like sort of explain your own fear. Wishful thinking. Sometimes people want something creepy to happen. They're like, you know, that's like in most haunted guys, they walk around this building, did you hear that? That's definitely something.
Yeah, exactly.
And hallucinations, and your imagination running away with you, all these things. So false perception, yeah, that's definitely on my list as a possible poltergeist explanation. Another one, which is one that's come up before, a lot of the cases we've talked about involving ghosts and stuff, potentially it's a hoax.
Right, yeah.
As simple as that.
Mm.
And these sort of fall into two categories. They fall into people being fame hungry. Yeah. And they want to get in the paper. They want to get known for having this weird thing happen to them. Or there's a large amount of reports of just mischievous kids pretending. And that's kind of what a lot of people thought that Enfield Poltergeist was in the end. The girl being mischievous and getting carried away with this story that she was telling and sort of perpetrating it herself. But there's... Interestingly, a lot of the ones that have been proved as hoaxes is very often adolescent girls.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So I'm not quite sure why, but that is, of the hoaxes that have been sort of outed as hoaxes that have been caused by kids, it's been mostly adolescent girls.
Wow.
Is that a hormonal thing as they're going through... puberty, is it just something that, I don't know.
Striving for attention, perhaps?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But then maybe that would be, I don't know. But you do go through this stage of being, right? Like, I just remember being obsessed with, yeah, this kind of stuff. And like, that's probably the part of my life where I watch the most horror movies.
Because
you just get obsessed with, you know, and it's like, you know, we all want to, and there's always that, like, I've told you guys before about that house in Stukeley that used to freak me out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. We used to make up stories. And then you'd have, like, we'd be sat there in the park and someone would be like, oh, yeah, but did you hear what happened to her? And they'd be like, no, what? And then you lean in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you, like, want to believe. So then this stupid legend that's been made up by some idiot just becomes, that's just fact. That's what happens. That's what happened to the lady that lived there.
So, I think what it is when you're a teenager, when you're that age, your brain is developing to such an extent where you're like, I've got the answers. I know how things work in the world now a little bit. You're so sure. And so there's this whole sort of category of things that are unexplained, like the podcast is unexplainable topics. And because there's no answer, when you feel like you've got all the answers to everything else, you're like, ooh, you're taking interest in the things that people can't give you the answer to, the questions that people can't answer for you.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you're probably much more cocky. Like, at that age, you feel like you know everything. And, like, yeah, you understand the world really well. And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the other explanation I have is natural phenomena. So I want to hazard a guess at any natural phenomena that could cause poltergeist-like activities.
Well, just like, I suppose, if you've got objects falling off around your house, I don't know, just...
Can I just go for a wee?
Just go for a wee. Well, actually, interesting. Tis, when you get back, I've got something that relates to that about an actual phenomena.
About weeing?
Yeah. So, Tis, did you enjoy your underground water?
Underground water?
Underground water is a potential... explanation that's been floated around for as one of the natural phenomena that could explain poltergeists.
Okay.
So I'm just gonna read this because, you know, it's easier. So in the 1950s, Guy William Lambert proposed that reported poltergeist phenomena could be explained by the movement of underground water causing stress on houses. He suggested that water turbulence could cause strange sounds, structural movement to the property, possibly causing the house to vibrate and move objects. Later researchers tested Lambert's hypothesis by placing specific objects in different rooms and subjecting the house to strong mechanical vibrations. They discovered that although the structure of the building had been damaged, only a few of the objects had moved a very short distance. The skeptic, Trevor H. Hall, criticized the hypothesis, claiming that if it was true, the building would almost certainly fall to ruins. According to Richard Wiseman, the hypothesis is not held up to scrutiny. So that's like one of these like people looking for an answer. Maybe it's water. I think that's a bit flimsy, to be honest. Not that I believe there's ghosts throwing baseballs around, but water passing around, it doesn't explain all the phenomena to me.
No. No, because you think it would explain everything, but it's not going to be able to do that. It might account for like one or two things.
And they say it moves these items like a little bit. It's not what people are explaining of like, you know, a lamp lifting up and flying across the room. But then them exaggerating the truth? I don't know.
Yeah, like I might not necessarily notice if, I don't know, like some like one of our ornaments moves like a fraction to the left or something. I would notice if it came flying across the room at like 30 miles an hour. And that's what people explain. Most of the time you tend to see that happening or you hear about that kind of movement, of aggressive movement. So
other natural phenomena explanations, seismic activity, that's a similar sort of thing. If there's light seismic activity, it might move. But then again, it doesn't explain everything to me. And then the other one is ball lightning. I don't know if you guys have heard of ball lightning. It was kind of a really heavy topic when I was trying to work out what the hell ball lightning even was. Have you guys ever heard of that?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Ball lining.
Lightning.
Ball lightning. No.
Grease lightning.
It is like, it's what it sounds. It's like balls of lightning. It's a very rare, odd occurrence of like literally a ball of electric floating down. And it can get through like, from the stuff I was reading, it can like get through like just a gap and then like reform as to how big it was. It sounds really fucking wild. And it's super dangerous because obviously wow. It's lightning. But it's a ball of lightning that floats around.
Well, this is real.
Yeah, it's real.
No.
Yeah, it's a real rare natural phenomena, ball lightning.
Nah.
But people are saying that maybe, right, because it's super rare, maybe some of the things that people have seen could be attributed to rare sightings of ball lightning, like glowing up the house or like orbs or even like thinking they've seen an orb and it's actually a piece of ball lightning or something. So
they just find like a little gap, almost like the glowing up the Death Star, just find like a tiny little abnormality.
Exactly.
And just squeeze through and just blow it up.
Squeeze up the exhaust port of your like Honda Accord and then blow it to the heavens, yeah.
That is insane. I've never heard of that
before.
It's
a really, really bonkers thing. I was going to go more into ball lightning just because it's so, so bizarre, but it's so, so tenuously linked to this stuff that I sort of went down a rabbit hole of my own just looking at pictures and things and reading stuff, but not enough to really delve into on this episode properly. But it did make me wonder, like, maybe there's an episode in weird weather somewhere down the line for one of us.
Oh, for sure. It was one I was considering last time round.
Yeah. So I'll put it on our list because there could be some interesting stuff in that.
Nice.
So they're the natural phenomena things, seismic activity, ball lightning, underground water. It's all a little bit tenuous. And then the final explanation is paranormal.
It's actually real.
Well, either psychokinesis, accidental psychokinesis, so being able to move stuff with your mind, either in purposefully or accidentally. There are some people that believe that is possible. And then the exercising of thoughts.
Was it just willing something to happen?
Yeah, basically. I did have some notes about exercising of thoughts. Let me have a look. So this is about Carl Jung, the psychoanalyst Carl Jung. He believed that when a bookcase gave an explosive cracking sound during a meeting with Sigmund Freud in 1909, he correctly predicted that there would be a second sound, speculating that such phenomena was caused by exteriorization of his subconscious mind. Freud disagreed and concluded that there was some natural cause. Freud biographers maintain the sounds were likely caused by the wood of the bookcase contracting as it dried out. But basically what he was saying is, if your brain could cause things to happen. So he heard a bookcase make a noise and he thought that's going to happen again in a minute. And it did. And he concluded that because he thought it was going to happen again, that's what made it happen again. And that was like this right. theory that Carl Jung was floating around, the exteriorizing of thought. So if you thought something was going to happen, you could make it happen.
Was it supported by other people, or was it just some weird thing that he had in mind?
It's something that he was floating around. I mean, there are people that believe it, but I didn't take a super deep dive in it because maybe that's something, just a phenomenon that could come up in a future episode, maybe an episode about psychokinesis and that whole thought exteriorization. There could be something in that.
Because I feel like these guys could say pretty much anything and you'd just be like, it's interesting, like, because of who they are.
In 1909.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something I hadn't really heard of before. And then the final paranormal explanation is occult rituals, demons, not ghosts, but the other side, which we've already spoke about before.
Mm.
So there we go. Hoaxes, false perceptions, natural phenomena, paranormal explanations. But really, I think deep down, we all know the real answer is it's ghosts. It's real ghosts.
Of course.
I mean, if I was to say to ask you guys, what would you sort of be drawn towards being a likely explanation out of any of those that we've gone over? Any of them float in your boat?
Ball lightning just opens up a whole new can of worms of whether ball lightning exists.
There are people that say it doesn't exist.
Well,
really?
I mean, it's so rare. I mean, how could you really prove it?
Well, that's it. That's why they're saying it's almost like, Maybe that's an answer because you couldn't prove it wasn't. It's one of them loopholes.
But it's like saying, like, it's like throwing out something else you can't prove as the solution to something else you can't prove. It's like, you can't prove any of that.
I think ball lightning is real, though.
How?
Well, I don't understand the weather. It's really complicated, isn't it?
Well, is there any evidence to prove that ball lightning exists?
Did you type in ball lightning to Google?
I can do, yeah.
Yeah, look at him. There are pictures of it. It's bonkers.
But you're only saying that to us because you've not heard of it before. Like, you think of like a volcano. The idea of a volcano is mental.
No, because they exist.
Yeah, but probably ball lightning does as well.
There's lots of pictures of, like, drawings of what it could be. Pictures of electrical things. And, like...
Well, like lightning.
Like, yeah, lightning. But that's lightning. Just lightning.
Well, maybe we'll revisit ball lightning at some point then. Will someone of us take a deep dive on ball lightning and have a weird weather phenomenon? Yes,
that sounds like you.
When did I become so sceptical of everything?
Doing this pod.
When we started doing about a year into the podcast.
I've become so sceptical to the point where...
Oh, me too.
It's actually a bit scary.
I think we said that on when we did, like, whatever the milestone episode was. We was just like, we are all so sceptical now. We started this because we were like, oh, let's explore the unexplained. And after researching a few of it, you're like, it's all shite.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like our listenership is just like, like, man, you used to be cool. And now I can't even.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they all hate us now.
I can't even play devil's advocate anymore. I'm just like, no, it just doesn't make any sense.
But okay, so if you don't believe it's poltergeistis, which of the explanations I gave you would you say is most likely?
So let's say, for example, let's just give you this scenario. I tell you that I've seen books fly off my shelves for a few weeks now, and not just like that they drop off because there's too many or I haven't balanced it on the bookshelf or anything, but like I'm watching TV and they fly across my room, smacking into the TV, like damaging the TV.
Yeah.
If you don't think that's a ghost, what would you say that is?
Ball lightning. No. No, I wouldn't know. I mean, I guess the one that I always hark back to is Charlie's accounts of ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like genuinely like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't want to think about it again.
I was about to say, like, the problem is, like, if you told me that, I would be like, whoa, what the fuck is going on? And I'd want to try and work out with you what was going on. But the problem is, all the cases that we read about and the reports we come from, the people who tell you on these videos and stuff we cover, I'm like, bollocks. Yeah. I don't believe them.
Yeah. It's too removed. It's too removed from my group, my circle of trust, you know?
Yeah.
But these people that have these stories will have people that believe them just like we believe each other. So I guess it's...
Mm.
Like, for every 10 stories that we look at, there's going to be like one or two that we probably think has got a bit of stock in it.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
That's probably fair. I think there are probably a few that we've... I mean, you guys know I've kind of, like, you know, I've talked about demons a bit. I mean, it kind of doesn't really translate to objects, and it's very different to, like, a demon or demon activity or demonic possession or anything like that. I mean, I'd be more inclined, I think, to, like, look first at the natural and just look at, like, you know, there will probably be an explanation for it. It would depend entirely on the actual manifestation, I suppose.
Right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to quickly just run down this list of possible explanations again, just by the words, and you can say real or rubs.
Okay, let's real or rubs it.
As like, yeah, this could be it, or this is definitely not it. I'll let you even do like a maybe. I don't know what the word for maybe is. So.
Probs.
Yeah, real, rubs, or probs, I don't know. We'll go through them quickly then. So, hoaxes.
Real. As in, like, that's a real explanation for it.
Yeah,
I mean.
Would you consider that a viable explanation?
Yeah. Tis?
What do you mean? Like, hoaxes is in the terms of, like, that's what poltergeists are, the hoaxes?
Yeah, it's a hoax.
To get in the paper or to scare a friend or...
Fame hungry people, kids messing around.
I don't know. Hoax is kind of the assumption that they don't believe it themselves, isn't it?
What do you mean?
If I was to say there's stuff going on and it wasn't, that's a hoax. But if I was
no,
to
we're
say...
talking about... Sorry. We're talking about like the Amityville Horror... Where one of the explanations that people said is like, oh, they just made the whole thing up to get in the paper.
Yeah. But maybe they believed what they were saying, which wouldn't be a hoax, but also wouldn't make it true.
Right, okay. So, but intentional or not, but...
Not real.
Set up by a human.
Set up by a human, either willingly or unwillingly. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So that's a real possibility.
Possibility, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think because some of them have been proven as that, that is definitely an option, because some of these poltergeist cases have been proven as hoaxes. Okay, so false perceptions, what we said about wishful thinking, rewritten of your memories, your imagination getting carried away with you.
Yeah, real.
Yeah. 100%.
Definitely.
Right.
Possibly the most likely explanation for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, we're going to go through the natural phenomena quickly. Seismic activity.
Nah, I don't think it's enough. Because surely at what point is it just like, oh yeah, that was an earthquake because my house is now wrecked. Like, yeah, no, that's, yeah. Rubs.
Nothing on seismic activity for you, Tis?
Yeah. No, nothing on seismic activity.
What about that underground water theory?
Nah, rubs, rubs.
Nah, Pollocks. Rubs, rubs, rubs.
Yeah. Ball lightning.
Rubs.
Real.
Rubs on both counts.
Real.
It doesn't exist. Psychokinesis. And I'll chuck that in with exteriorization of thought. Willing movement with your own mind, intentionally or not.
No, because if I say real, that means I have to believe in Uri Geller.
He's real.
No,
he doesn't
exist.
Not
in the person. Not the person. Obviously, he exists. Like, but him moving things and stuff with his thoughts.
Didn't he move that football before a penalty once?
He did. He did move the football.
Did he?
Was it Gary McAllister went for the? Was it Gary McAllister went for a penalty or one
Something
of the Scottish
like this,
guys went for a penalty?
And the ball
moved
slightly.
He was in a helicopter above the stadium, and he was This came up the other night. Yeah, he was like, I was in the helicopter. I was willing it, and I was just going move.
Move, ball, move.
Like, we did have a listener recently request that we do an episode all about Yuri Geller.
That would be fun. That would be really fun.
It would be really silly, I think.
I am not doing that as my next episode. I usually go with listener suggestions, but that is not happening for me.
Right. What about occult rituals or demonic intervention?
Well, yeah, I'm gonna, yeah. Real.
Maybe.
Real, maybe real. Like, yeah, again, it would depend entirely on the ritual. But yeah, maybe.
What about it being actually a ghost?
No.
What has happened to us? What has happened to us?
Bearing in mind, I have a few more of these Poltergeist episodes in me. Maybe it is a ghost.
Maybe. Could be. Cliffhanger. What is that? We need to do an episode on us as a pod and how we've changed from being...
Next discussion episode.
Very non-skeptical. Almost berating skeptics. I swear we were used to like really hate on skeptics.
Be very open-minded.
And now I just have no time for it. And I feel like... I just can't, it's not like I want to have no time for it. I just don't.
But you know where that is, don't you?
What?
I feel like we all know why this is. It's because of fake news. That now we're at the point where it's like, no, shut that shit down now before it gets some stupid conspiracy theory about politicians being paedophiles in pizza parlours. Like, no, shut it down now.
Conspiracy theories used to be fun. And now they are political weapons.
Yeah, and now it's like people actually believe them.
But that's why we don't focus on those conspiracy theories. Focus on the sort of stuff the X-Files used to do.
Yeah, but even those.
Yeah, but when you think about my colleague, someone in her family is a flat earther.
Oh.
And whenever they have like a family gathering, she's like, I just can't sit there. Like, I cannot have a conversation with him because it's just, I can't understand why this is something.
Yeah, if you're stupid enough to think that, then I inherently. Like, you're inherently stupid, and I can't find... Yeah. I don't want to, like, meet you on your terms about any other topic.
Yeah,
exactly. So I don't think it's that we're sceptical, because I think when it's people that we know, or we know roughly, or even listeners that we have been with us for a long time, it's maybe that we're... I don't know. Maybe that's just what...
I mean, we're being sceptical, we've seen stuff that listeners have sent us or read stories, and we still have it in us to go... Oh, fuck, that's creepy. Like, do you remember that footage the guy sent us who worked in the supermarket and the stuff was, like, moving off the shelves from the security camera? We were creeped out.
Yes.
And we were like, that's weird. What is the ghost or not? Like, what is that? What's causing that? That's cool. That still gets my juices going. Yeah,
that's true. We need more videos of this shit happening. That's what we need. We need
from
more
people
of
that
those
we trust.
Shows that they used to have on FX or something.
Well, strange but true.
Yes, strange but true.
Wait, strange but true?
Yeah, that's the one. Right, okay, so...
Yeah, so I don't know.
That's
maybe
the
it is
little,
a ghost.
Strange but questionable.
A little primer on poltergeists. We've, like I said at the beginning, we have already spoken about some very famous cases. So we talked briefly about Bawley Rectory. I'll just do like a light recap of the poltergeist cases we've talked about. Just like I've literally got bullet points on these here. So Bawley Rectory, supposedly one of the most haunted houses in England. It burnt down eventually. The Warrens did some investigations there. The famous ghost character of the Nun originates from there, which spun off into that series of films, whatever it was. Rectory, that was that one. And wasn't there something about that with someone being like locked... bricked up behind a wall or something weird like that? It was a while ago we did that
I have a
slight recollection of someone being bricked up behind a wall, which is always a horrible thought.
But we're gonna go soon, aren't we?
Exactly, yeah. We'll go and see it ourselves. Well, it's burnt down. We'll walk along the ashes. I did actually watch the documentary about Bawley Rectory recently, which was quite interesting, with Rhys Shearsmith in it.
Speaking about poltergeists and stuff, and churches,
mm-hmm.
and rectories, rectories aren't churches, are they? What about Clop Hill?
Well, the asylum.
No, no, Clop Hill Church.
What's Clop Hill Church?
Say, Bobby Beef, have you heard of those?
No.
I feel like I've heard you speak about this, and I feel like I've heard you speak about this on the show.
St. Mary's Church in Clop Hill. It's like a very famous, definitely.
Is this where all the stoners used to go to?
For sure, but it's it's apparently haunted. Apparently, yeah. Very haunted, like aggressively haunted.
I remember you telling me about this. Maybe this is what we need, the kick up the arse we need. We go there, we get haunted, and we get our faith back.
Maybe. Maybe. I'd be down for that. Yeah, Clop Hill.
I am down a couple of times over the next few months, by the way.
The church face. Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting you. Really? You're in Leeds now. I'm thinking, oh, it's yeah. So local for you guys, but it's actually not.
No, it's local for Beef.
Even for Beef, it's not even that local, to be fair. It's Flitwick, near Flitwick.
No, and I'm going on my own. I'm not going on my own either. So
yeah,
no.
I'll send you the recorder, Beef. You can do an outside exploration.
No, thanks.
Clop Hill, the church in Clop Hill is apparently built the wrong direction. It's built to the east or the west or something like this. And it's an abandoned church. And I've heard stories of people pulling up and, like, there was one where the handbrake was on, but apparently their car was, like, rolling back a little bit or something like this.
Oh, I like the sound of this. Because me and Rick investigated the Devil's Bridge, that haunted bridge in Hemel for an old episode. And I was about to say, oh, yeah, when I'm down, I'll grab Rick and take him up to Clop Hill. But I forgot that Rick now lives in Lancashire. So he also moved away.
Okay. Do you mean, is it St. Mary's Church in Clop Hill?
Yeah, that's it.
Near Bedford, between Bedford and Luton, apparently. It was desecrated in the 60s. Oh, okay. Weird. That could be an episode on its own.
If we do a discussion on the on our skepticism, we should definitely get Rick on again, because he's obviously been on a similar journey.
Well, I just recorded simulation theory episode with him to try and do a topic which he wasn't totally skeptical of.
Yeah.
Because so far everyone we've done, he's like, I can't get rid of my skepticism. And that one was one that, like, sort of captures imagination. It went up this week, and it got a really positive response from listeners, I think, because Rick's juices are really flowing on that one. So
amazing.
But I think it's. Yeah. No, sorry, go on, carry on.
Well, so, yeah, okay, so we'll say it now. Like, we'll do a discussion episode later this year on skepticism. And it'll be like a self-exploration of us and what's happened to us.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm not a skeptic, am I? Because I have a faith.
Yeah, but we're talking about the ghosties and ghoulies and this stuff.
Okay.
If I believe in a being.
Well, you've got a different sort of entry point to us than Beef already. It's already going to make for an interesting episode.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, back to this one. Let's get this one. Are we fucking planning future episodes?
Where's Tiss gone?
He's checked out.
My back's killing me. I need to have a straight back for a second.
Yeah, fair enough.
Bawley Rectory, we covered that. With the other ones we did the Amityville Horror, which was Haunted House in New York. That was another Warren's investigation. It was the building where a man called Ronald DeFeo murdered his family.
Wow.
And then when the new residents moved in, they claimed it being haunted. It was a really famous case. Me and Beef watched the Amityville Horror movie with Ryan Reynolds. Available on the Unwatchable bundle on Bandcamp, bobshoy.bandcamp.com. It's very funny, very worth a watch. I really enjoyed the two Unwatchable episodes we recorded. So the Amityville Horror, we talked about that. That's a good case, though. That was good, because you had, like, two sides of it. You had the murder, and then years later, the haunting. And then obviously Tizzy's favourite, the Enfield Poltergeist in London. That was another case the Warrens got involved in. It was the subject of The Conjuring 2, the movie. We showed them pictures of the girl floating above her bed and of the old, horrible old man's voice coming from her.
Oh, yeah.
She was talking. Yeah, we played the clips of it. It was really horrible. That was suspected as being a hoax, but again, you can't prove it was a hoax, but it was an interesting case. So they're the ones we've covered already. And I think just for the last little section of this episode, I will run through a few, like, other real quick ones. And then in the future, we'll revisit this topic and we'll sort of go into some real meaty cases like those ones that we did for the Warrens.
Yeah, sounds good.
So first of all, I said, when do the poltergeist cases date back to? And I said the first century. So what I have here is what is potentially the first report of a poltergeist.
Really?
And this is from Titus Flavius Josephus.
Josephus?
Born in Jerusalem, 37 AD.
This is like famous theologian Flavius Josephus.
So you know him, yeah. I wondered if you would, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it reminded me of Maximus Aurelius. It's like Flavius Maximus or something.
I knew he was going to say.
Glutimus Maximus Josephus. Yeah, Josephus, yeah.
So this man, born Joseph ben Matityahu, is what he was born as.
Benjamin Netanyahu.
Joseph ben Matityahu. Matityahu. So yeah.
Forget about him, Lynn. You'll never meet him. Sorry, go on. Carry on.
Oh, dear it is. So in 94 AD, he witnessed an exorcism. And in this ceremony, someone was exorcising an unclean spirit from someone. And after the successful completion of the exorcism, he saw a bowl of water from across the other side of the room spontaneously lift up and overturn. That's it. That's the story. He claims it was the spirit, yeah. And a lot of people put this down as being, oh, this is the first instance of someone, of a ghost moving something, levitating something, what would be known as a poltergeist. And this was reported in the book called The PK Zone by Pamela Ray Heath. She's the person who sort of wrote about this originally, but, yeah, so that's that Flavius Josephus, that is what people consider. This might be the first instance of what is describing a poltergeist.
Interesting. I mean, this is where I suppose, like, I'm probably, yeah, the least skeptical, because this is very, very close to sort of demonic possession, yes, that I've seen, or, you know, and I've explained things that, you know, obviously years ago in Mozambique, and here as well, I've seen it, you know, so it's quite similar. So it's not so far beyond my imagination.
So that's
that a bowl
what
could
I wondered.
Tip over.
Yeah, I wonder. It's not that extreme. It's just one bowl tipping over. But I knew this one might capture you, Beef, because it was almost like a cross section of what we've talked about. When you break it down, a poltergeist, all it is a spirit, which could be whatever you interpret as being, that can move something. That's all it comes down to. Make noise, yeah, or move something. So after this exorcism, yeah, this whatever was excised or whatever, tipped a bowl over the other side of the room. Okay, so you could believe that, not necessarily believing in ghosts, not necessarily believing in whatever, but that is at the heart also what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and you would easily connect the two. Like if you were doing that and then at the same time something like, it's not like a bowl, like I say, falling off a table or so. If it turned over, that's, yeah, it would feel quite definitive in the moment. And you would maybe ham it up and maybe think that they were connected. But yeah, this is where I suppose it's, you know, like when I say I may not believe in everything to do with poltergeists, it's more because we've obviously stretched and broadened what that means and what that looks like. And we've all seen films with poltergeists and we've all, it's been so kind of diluted by pop culture that when you say, yes, I believe in poltergeists, you're sort of like, yeah, but what does that mean? So yeah, that's interesting that's... like a really early example, or the most early example, you said.
Yes, the earliest one that I came across. So what I did is I went on good old Wikipedia, and on Wikipedia, on the poltergeist page, there's a list of notable poltergeist cases, and they all linked to different pages. And then I sort of went and did research of those different ones, some for this episode, some just in the bag for future episodes. But this, the one with Josephus, wasn't actually on that list. This is, so I was like, there's got to be earlier ones, because on the other research I did, like I said, these date back to the first century, but none of these on the Wikipedia page dated back that far. So that's when I came across this one. It's like, it's the earliest one I could find. I really wanted an example of the earliest one. So that's that. And then another example I've got here is the opposite end. So this is poltergeist cases happening all the way back in the first century, and then this is happening right to now. So the newest case on the Wikipedia page for poltergeist was the Canneto di Caronia fires. And this was a case that went on from 2004 to 2005 in Sicily. So this is a series of unusual fires.
Ooh.
Hmm.
That reminds me of the... Do you remember when you did the... I'm sure it was the Strange Media episode, Bob. You talked about the Exorcist film and they had fires on the set, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting.
Mad.
So let me find... I've got... Where's my fucking... I've got some notes on this, but I can't find them. Okay, I can't find my notes for this, so I'll just paraphrase what it says on Wikipedia about it, because I've lost my own notes about it. So... In 2004-2005, there was a series of unusual fires in Canneto di Caronia, Sicily. Popular speculation ascribed the fires to various causes, including an unknown natural phenomenon, paranormal events, or secret military technology. An inquiry by a team of scientific experts in 2004 could not identify a plausible cause of the fires. A separate investigation by the Office of Prosecutor in 2008 was closed, stating that the fires were caused by arson. So... there was public speculation about what was causing these fires all from years between the years 2004-2005, and there was all sorts of speculation. Obviously arson was one of them, but there was a lot of the locals saying this is demons, some saying it was UFOs, some saying it was poltergeist. There's all sorts of paranormal answers going around as well. In 2007, after some research, someone proposed that it was possibly something to do with electromagnetism, but that didn't really get picked up on so much. And in 2008, the prosecutor decided that it was arson, but no one in particular was named as the cause of it. So to put it all to bed, he said, yeah, this was an arson case, but there was no name for it. And a lot of the locals still believed that this was a poltergeist thing. It was... I've got here... Because when I say like small fires, sometimes it was just like a television. In 2003, Antonio Pizzino's home on Via Mare, Pizzino's television reportedly exploded. Similar malfunctions reportedly affected fuse boxes, air conditioners, kitchen appliances, computers, car door locks. Fires have said to also struck wedding presents, pieces of furniture. At least one person was said to have observed an unplugged electrical cable ignite while he was directly observing it. So just small fires happening all over the place.
That's interesting.
Wow.
So, interestingly, in 2014, the fires restarted. So, nearly 10 years later.
Really?
And in 2015, a man named Giuseppe Pizzino, 26-year-old man, was arrested for arson. And they also said that his father was involved in it as well. What they did is the military police installed hidden cameras all over the place, and over that course captured 40 separate incidents involving Pizzino.
What, setting fire to things?
Oh my word. Excuse me.
Yeah. Just repeated acts of arson from this guy.
That's mad.
And so
that's
because bonkers. That was in 2014, 2015, they're like, okay, so it was probably... this guy or his dad, who was also caught on some of these tapes, that might be the cause of the fires 10 years previous.
Right.
That's so weird that they were just small, though.
So some still believe there's a paranormal bent to it. Some people are like, oh, because this guy was arrested for arson in the same village this many years later, he was probably the guy that did it before. But speculation's still in the air.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's interesting. When you said fires, I thought, like, you know, much bigger than that. So that's interesting that they're just small. Yeah.
Just very small contained things. When I first read it, I was thinking, like, big, like the village is on fire sort of thing, or someone's house.
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
Items, objects, little bits of fire. So very different. And what are we at recording-wise? I know we had some farting around. I'll quickly do one more and then we'll wrap up. So the other one I'll do is the earliest one that was a notable one on Wikipedia. So this is 1685, so not quite the first century. And this is the Glen Luce Devil.
Mm-hmm. The Glen Close Devil.
The Glen Close Devil. So this was described by a Scottish mathematician named George Sinclair in his 1685 book, Satan's Invisible World Discovered. But the actual incident occurred in October 1654. So a weaver named Gilbert Campbell, who lived in Glenluce, I nearly said Glen Close.
sorry, my fault.
In Glenluce, was asked for money by a beggar named Alexander Agnew. He didn't give the beggar any money, and the beggar then swore harm on him and his family. Campbell then experienced strange phenomena at his home for the next 2 years. These included whistling noises, stones being thrown around, fabric being cut inside his home. He was a weaver, remember? So some of his fabric being cut, and also what he described as demonic voices inside his home. So, yeah, it doesn't sound nice.
No.
Many thought that it was him putting on a hoax, but obviously he said, I'm not putting on a hoax, however. And there was no explanation to this. It just happened for these 2 years and then stopped, and that's all this case is known as, the case of the Glenluce Devil. Interestingly, though, as a side note, Agnew, the beggar, was actually quite well known. He was known as the Jock of Broad Scotland, and he ended up being the first person in Scottish history to deny publicly the existence of God and was hanged for blasphemy on the 21st of May, 1656.
Oh.
So interesting little addendum to that story of the Glenluce Devil.
So he might have come back and haunted people. Or was
that? I don't know.
That's interesting.
So the case, the years. So this is interesting. Actually, when I look at these years, maybe it was just him fucking with the other guy, because the incident occurred in 1654 and these disturbances happened for 2 years. And Agnew was hanged in 1656, 2 years later. So it's interesting that the incident stopped after he died.
Hmm. Yeah, that's odd.
So it might just have been him hiding in the bushes, throwing stones and putting on horrible voices for the guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Trying to just freak him out. Maybe just being a dick.
Yeah, but that's the case of the Glenluce Devil anyway. And I researched loads more, but I knew I wouldn't get through them all. I think that'll do us for tonight, for an introduction to poltergeists.
Nice.
Yeah. Just to whet our appetite.
Just to whet your appetite.
Appetgeist.
No.
No, it doesn't
so like I said, I will revisit some of the bigger, meatier cases. It won't be my next episode, but it will be like something I drop back to every now and then, because in my research I did come across some pretty cool cases. So it'll be interesting just to go through that. Plus, we also have all the poltergeist chapters of the Strange But True book to investigate as well.
Amazing.
I'm gonna go find that show now. I'm gonna go see if I can find it on YouTube.
I'm gonna do a bit of digging around and see if I can find a clip from that episode of the Enfield Poltergeist that freaked me out when I was a kid. And if I find it, I'm going to insert it in the episode here.
But then in December, when he thought there could be no more surprises, the most extraordinary episode of the case occurred. It started to speak.
The voice phenomena started on December the 10th. I remember that day all too well. December the 10th, 1977. I was sitting in the room in the lounge, with Mrs. Hodgson and the children, and suddenly a dog barked in the room.
Bert! Come on, my name's Morris. Let me hear you say it.
Morris.
Even I was taken aback. You know, it really was quite a shock to listen to hear it.
The following reconstruction is based on the tape recordings taken by Morris Gross at the time.
Everyone very quiet, very still. Where are you in the room at this moment?
On top of Janet.
Why are you lying on Janet's bed? Why can't she feel you?
I'm invisible.
Why? First of all, I thought it was discarnate voice coming from out of the air, you know, nowhere. Then I realised the voice was coming from Janet. I said, Janet, that voice is coming from you. She says, no, it's not. I said, all right, if it's not coming from you, where is it coming from? She said, it's coming from behind me.
Now, I want you to take a sip of this, but don't swallow it, all right?
The investigators were mystified. Numerous tests were carried out on Janet to try to find the source of the sound.
What is your name?
My name's Bill.
At one time, the voice is going in the room, and I'm talking to the room and asking him to show himself. He's saying, I can't. I'm dead. I said, don't worry about that. I've seen dead bodies. I've got no head. And that type of thing. And it ended up calling me before I get go away.
You all right, love?
This won't hurt at all, I promise you that.
Well, what's it for, Morris?
Well, we need to find out where the voice is going.
It seemed the mystery would be cleared up when the investigators borrowed a laryngograph from the University of London. It's a machine that closely monitors voice patterns.
Is that on all right? Yeah, it seems to be.
And we found the voice was not made by the larynx, but by the false vocal fold, which is above the larynx here. And you only use it when you lose your voice and you talk like that. Right. Janet used to produce this voice for up to 3 hours at a time without even any distress whatsoever. Well, you do that for a couple of minutes and you're in dead trouble with your throat.
My name's Bill.
Do you know that you're dead?
Shut up.
Yeah, there we go. That classic Strange But True episode.
Nice.
So, yeah, we've decided we're all skeptics. Something that we need to revisit for ourselves. We need to dissect ourselves, I think. Tiss is right.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind, like, an outside opinion as well of, like, someone who's listening.
Oh, we should try and get, like, a psychiatrist or something.
Someone who's listened to earlier episodes where we aren't so skeptical, and then now, and kind of like a mirror to ourselves, kind of be like, well, you used to think this.
I could get my friend Rush to come on. She's just been accepted onto a doctorate.
Ooh. Would she be able to psychoanalyze us and find out why we've lost our spark?
She'd give it a go. She'd probably pull our brains apart a little bit. And she spends most of like her days at school doing this kind of stuff.
I like
the
sound of
that. She's the sort of person that you speak to, and she's like, she'll tell you. Yeah, so like when you're talking to her, she'll always be like, yeah, but why do you think that? Or like that, do you know, see what I mean? That kind of questioning where, and then after like half an hour, you're like, I feel like a new person. I feel like I've just learned a bit about myself.
Make us question ourselves. I like the sound of that. Have a word of her. Maybe we'll sort that out for like the next series or something. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Talking of the next series, listeners, I've mentioned briefly, you know, the show was delayed or whatever. I've come back from Scotland. I did some recording while I was over there, walking around Loch Ness and all sorts and looking for the monster. So what I'll do is, in the break, I'll edit together all my clips from Scotland into some sort of episode and put in some bagpipe music and whatnot. It'll be a fun little holiday special that I'll put in next series somewhere. Some foreign objects in there, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. Guys, listener of the week, we've really ballsed this up, this series. The last episode we did, we completely forgot to even do Listener of the Week.
We
just didn't do it. And the episode before that was the episode was Weird News, and I showed you the picture of us crossing Abbey Road, drawn by a listener.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we made him Listener of the Week. And then when I looked through my information, he's already been Listener of the Week. So we've really balls up. We gave it him twice.
Well, I mean,
if you draw
maybe
a picture of
deserving.
Us, then that's deserving of it.
No, we said early on, no one can have it twice.
Unless they draw a picture. That's the caveat that we forgot to mention.
Great. At this rate, we might as well make Anthony Anderson listener of the week.
Anderson's going to be furious.
Never.
That too rash.
Never. It's never happening. He is consistently
Well, hang on a minute. That
never
must have been a while ago,
listener
though.
Of the week. What? That he was never... We say it every time.
So what I'll do is I'll give a listener of the week for this week. Timothy Karinko lives near Pittsburgh, US. Recently got married, so congrats to you and Jen, and shout out to your dog, Max.
Congratulations.
He would like to say, go Steelers. That's a sports thing.
Go Steelers.
Yeah.
Say it like you're a commentator.
Say it like you haven't lost all your spark.
The Steelers. say the Steelers bite. like
say,
the commentator.
Say go Steelers.
Go Steelers.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Go Steelers.
There we are. We got there eventually. Right, Timothy, I hope that was acceptable for you. Thanks. Listener of the week.
Listener of the week.
Sorry, I just want to say big up listener to Anthony Amberson. He'll just never be listener of the week. Big up, but never.
I think he's got another kid on the way as well.
Still never. Still
correct.
Never. But
so yeah, I'm sure.
Congratulations.
Yeah. He also posted a picture of him in a Rubs t-shirt and his baby in a Weird Tales, a Rubs baby grow, which is amazing.
Amazing. That is amazing. Still not worthy.
And he said he's got that baby grow for the new baby. Yeah, he's there. So there we go.
I mean, we know that if we get another like Abbey Road picture through, but it's been signed by like a pseudonym, that it could be Anthony Anderson just trying to get listener of the week.
Doesn't count though. We were never attributed to his actual name.
It's never going to happen.
I feel like consistently being not listener of the week is probably a bigger title than once being.
That's what he said. He prefers not being listener of the week, so he gets more mentions.
Yeah.
So yeah, Timothy, listener of the week this time. And I'm actually going to give like a listener of the week for the one we missed. So I'm going to double bubble. For the last episode, which was the Fearsome Leaders one, retroactively, Jennifer Spearman. Listener of the week.
Listener of the week.
She's a new listener. It's become a new favourite podcast of hers. She's been binging through all the episodes. She sent us some pictures of her cat, Luna. So hi, Jennifer, retroactive listener of the week for the Fearsome Leaders episode. And hi to Luna, the cat.
Thank you very much, Timothy and Jennifer.
And you might notice I haven't been doing Pet of the Weeks this series.
I have.
It's been hard to keep track of them. I get so many of these pictures and I was just like, oh, it's just another thing for me to do. So I thought, let's retire that and let's do a new one. Because we did Outfit of the Week, remember that one time? And that was quite fun.
Right.
Talking of Outfit of the Week, what are you guys wearing?
I've got a t-shirt on and some trousers.
So nondescriptive. Just clothes. I've just got some clothes on.
I've got a t-shirt from Killer Acid in America. A really cool clothing brand. And I've got some Dickies hard-wearing trousers, which I wear for everything because they're just fucking tough. And
just
I've got some... Actually, I've got some Bob...
tradesman clothes.
I've got some Bob socks made by Volcom. Volcom, the official sponsor of Bobby Lee Scheuer in his 20s.
They still are. Like, their trousers are the trousers that fit me. I have...
Oh, really?
All my trousers are Volcom trousers. All my jeans, all my trousers.
I just remember you having
fit for me.
Volcom t-shirts and hoodie constantly. It was like, that was the clothing brand you found.
One of my pairs of shoes is Volcom's right now, actually.
No way.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, Beef, what are you wearing?
I'm basically in my, like, loungewear. This is what I do now. I get home from work and just put my loungewear on. So just a standard, what's this, like a V-neck tee?
Mm-hmm.
Button-down V-neck tee with, and it's red. And then I've got my Stormtrooper. They're like, I think they must be, they're like episode 7 Stormtrooper pajama bottoms. They're like shorts.
Mm.
And they've got lots of Stormtroopers on, and then every now and then you get a Kylo Ren.
Just lounging.
Yeah, just, and they've got pockets as well, so they're really, lots of my pyjama bottoms don't have pockets, and it winds me up.
Mm.
Like, you have to, like, carry a phone under your chin or under your arm, or, I don't know, so, yeah. And then just some black pants.
I've got a long sleeve, grey, T-shirt, jumper, midway between, but it's way hotter in here now than when I started recording, so I've rolled up the sleeves. It's very ratty. The sleeves are a bit ripped and stuff because it's one that I wear when I'm traveling a lot because it's a good weight, and a pair of light grey shorts. There we go. Outfit of the week. Let's give it to Tiss for his hardware and Dickie's trousers.
Nice.
Anyway, I wasn't actually intending to bring Outfit of the Week back. I just thought it'd be funny at the moment. What I was going to propose is next series, I thought about Question of the Week. So if a listener sends us a real quick fire question, just like, what's your favourite type of pie? And then we can just give a real quick fire answer at the end of the episode and maybe listeners can get to know us better. So question of the week.
I'd love that. Can I do a question of the week this week?
Yeah, start us off.
Have you got any recommendations for good coffee? I've been drinking extract recently, but I know, Bob, you're...
This is for me.
Bit of a coffee aficionado. Have you got any coffee recommendations of the week?
Well, I get all my coffee from North Star because I live opposite a roastery now.
North Star. Okay, let's see this.
North Star Leeds. They're great.
And you rate them higher than extract?
North Star's my favourite.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
But I just, because I live opposite, I just go over and buy all my coffee from there. So they make a fortune out of me.
Extract are also Bristol-based. That's why I get extract so easily. There we go.
So we're just representing our
just repping that. But yeah, I might get some North Star.
Well, when you guys come over, we'll go for breakfast over at North Star and they do amazing pastries, like the best pastries and the best coffee. So
nice.
I even took my brothers there and even they were like, this is banging and it's hard to please 18-year-olds. So
boom.
Nice.
So yeah, question of the week, guys.
Is it my turn?
Listeners, no, just for listeners. This is for listeners. Now we're going really on tangents. I thought we wrapped up the episode like 20 minutes ago.
To answer Tiss's question.
Oh, to answer Tiss's question, yeah, if you want beef.
Big shout out to Esquire's. That's the local coffee shop next to us. It's the best takeaway coffee I've had. It's really nice. And they're very kind. They give teacher discount. So I get a 10% discount when I go in.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's nice.
What kind of coffee do they use, though?
Oh, I don't know. Don't care. It's like 10 to 8 in the morning. I just go in and ask for a latte on my way to work.
Nescafe.
Usually go in
instant.
Wednesday, Thursday when I've got a bit more time. I don't have to take Joel to nursery, so I just pop in and get myself a coffee.
Amazing.
Don't know.
Out of interest, actually.
I'll have a look. I'll find out. I will find out.
Bob, what?
I'll find out where they get their beans from.
What North Star are you repping? Is it, what, have you got like a brand, like a, you know, one of the types of coffee, or is it just any North Star coffee?
Whatever they've got going on, it's always good.
There's loads on the website. Okay, cool. I'll just try whatever.
Yeah.
Cool.
So there we go. Question of the week. So listeners, send us some questions, like real quick fire questions, like that Tiss's one coffee thing, like the one I gave an example. What sort of pies do you like? I don't know, any best holiday you ever had, something like that. Just something that we can answer real quick at the end of the show. I think might be quite fun to try that out. Question of the week. So get them going on. We'll start doing that next series. Forgot it on FL. I've written notes here and I don't know what that means. I don't know what forgot it on FL means, but doesn't matter. The final thing is charity this month. We normally announce this on the first episode of the series. This series has been a nightmare. So this is the last episode, but I'll retroactively give our money. I don't know if you guys had... I think Tiss was going to think of something, but he's probably forgotten. So if he has forgotten, I've got a backup.
I hadn't forgotten, but I just can't think of one. The problem I've got is that I have to go and look into it and research it. And I know that you've probably already done that due diligence. So I'll just hand it over to you.
I did it just in case you hadn't. If you want to do it for next time, feel free.
I don't have the time for due diligence.
I thought, seeing as we're recording this on Pride Month, it might be good to give to a Pride adjacent charity.
Fuck yeah.
So we got the Kaleidoscope Trust. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Kaleidoscope Trust.
Tell us
a little bit about them. UK-based charity working to uphold the human rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people internationally. We believe that the rights of all people should be respected equally, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And they do loads of really good projects all over the world, based in the UK. So seeing as we're recording this right at the end of Pride Month, I thought Kaleidoscope Trust can take the charity money this
lovely.
Time.
Fuck yeah, that's a great shout.
Perfect.
That's a wicked shout. See, that would have been way better than anything I could have possibly suggested. But I totally agree with all of those tenants. So yeah, let's do it.
Cool, there we go. So there we go, Poltergeist, the official episode of Weird Tales from Pride Month. Right, we've been rambling. This has been a really fucking long recording session. Let's wrap it up. It's the end of the series, everyone. We're having a month off now. We'll be back. Maybe we'll be analysing ourselves next time. We've also got my Scotland trip to talk about. Me and Rick have got something juicy in the bag, and I'm sure me, Beef and Tiss will pull some interesting stuff out as well. It's going to be a good one next time.
Fuck yeah.
So, yeah. Love you lots. Hope you've enjoyed this run of episodes. Super quickly, if you want to get in contact with those questions, the email is wtatupod@gmail.com, or you can go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com and contact through there. There's links to everything else on there. You can find us on social media, whatever. If you enjoy this, you might enjoy some of my other podcasts. Go to bobshoy.com, bobshoy.com. You can see the other shows I work on. You can support my time researching and editing this, as well as those podcasts, at patreon.com/bobshoy. And you can buy bonus episodes at bobshoy.bandcamp.com. Let's go.
Another thing they should actually email in about is, I don't know how to word this, but maybe they could email in with, like, you know, you used to believe this, so...
Oh, you know? For the psychoanalyzing thing.
Yeah. They need...
Tell us how we've changed.
Because the listeners have obviously listened a lot more freshly to the older stuff.
Yeah.
And they've probably got a picture in their mind of what we're like early on and
our
what
journey,
we've changed
yeah.
into. So they're probably better... than ourselves to analyze it.
Oh,
so
definitely.
If they could try and give us some sort of like insight into, well, I thought you were like this, or I think you're like this, so it's funny that you think of yourself like this. That'd be great, because then we can analyze ourselves even further.
Great shout. So that, analyze us, the third in the trilogy of the Robert De Niro series. And send questions of the week to WTATUpod@gmail.com or through the contact on WeirdTalesAndTheUnexplainable.com. Right, I'm going to bed. I've got a really early start tomorrow. We've been chatting on forever tonight.
Yeah, I need another way.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. All right, guys. Love you too. And I love all you listeners. Thanks for listening.
Love you, bye.
Love you, everyone. Love thanks you, for coming.
Bye,
see you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.
See you later. Cheers. Bye. Bye. Love you. Bye. Bye.
We're gonna
right,
record
sorry,
a pod
guys, I'm back now.
On the weekend we do the beer festival. Even just
we'll probably do a little bit of recording. It feels like a waste for us not to record something when we're actually all in the same room.
We're just gonna be like absolutely off our fucking trolleys recording after the beer fest. Just like, we're all together.
Yeah. Well, maybe we won't use it.
No, it will just be in the vaults. You'll be dead!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at yoquierodineropodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.